Chapter 5. Drexel. To say that Din had miscalculated was something of an understatement. His desire to take on targets who were more worthy of his time than bail jumpers had finally come back to bite him. The target was dead, had been long before Din got them, as a matter of fact, killed by the same pirate gang that was currently chasing him through the abandoned factory in the middle of nowhere. Din shot a pirate straight through the chest and spun to throw an elbow in another's face. He willfully ignored the throbbing pain of the blaster wound to his stomach as he rolled out of the way of more shots, only to watch as more pirates started to pour from every corner. He took down two, only for four more to appear. As the wall of pirates closed in around Din, it began to dawn on him that he probably wasn't going to make it out of this one alive. A notion reinforced by the thermal detonator rolling towards him, an avalanche of light and sound and pain, and the dirt floor, which was suddenly much closer to his face than it had been just seconds ago. There was a moment of blackness. Then Din started to regain his senses one at a time. Vision led the way, even though everything was blurry and his visor was slightly askew. The shadows around him were shifting strangely. No one seemed to be bothering to finish him off, which didn't make sense. That's what he'd do if he were a pirate. A vibroblade to the neck, a shot to the back of the head. Din wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. A deafening ringing heralded the return of sound. There was shouting and hatees, but it seemed to be quite far away. Din tried to sit up, but his body wouldn't cooperate. He felt damp. Oh. He was covered in blood. A lot of blood. Dizzy, body stinging with pain, Din slumped back into the dirt. His eyes were drifting closed once again, whether he wanted them to or not. Just before they shut completely, he thought he saw thin strips of cyan light dancing through the smoke around him, and the shadows falling one by one. When Din woke up, he was in some sort of cot and everything hurt. He could, thankfully, feel the usual weight of his helmet on his head and most of his armor. Although his breastplate seemed to have been replaced by something cold and pointy that he could feel through his flight suit. He cracked an eye open experimentally and nearly jumped out of his skin when he found himself staring directly into the shiny black ocular lens of a droid, which seemed to be trying to get a look through his T-visor. Din tried to push the droid off his chest, but as he moved, the pain in his abdomen and shoulder grew exponentially, and all he managed was a twitch and a somewhat pitiful groan. BD, that's not very polite. I apologize, he's very curious. He doesn't mean anything by it. The droid beeped and scrambled off Din's chest. And he turned his head to see Poncho was sitting at a small table nearby. He seemed to be doing something to Din's breastplate. His defining garment was dusty red this time, with some vertical yellow and white stripes. His ginger hair was falling forward onto his face as he worked. How was it that of all the people in the galaxy, this was the person he couldn't seem to shake off? Din wondered, for a moment, whether he should be worried for his life. The last time they'd met, they'd made a pact in Din's favor. But it would have been much easier for the other man to leave Din for dead. And here he was, safely somewhere else. Where am I? An inn, just outside the closest settlement we could find. We're several clicks west of the site of your misadventure. Din's brain finally caught up with what he was watching. He felt a sudden wave of panic, and he raised his head as much as he could, trying to push through the black spots that appeared in his vision. What are you doing to my armor? I'm fixing it, obviously. Din slumped back. He didn't know. How would he know? Mandalorians were very private people, and their traditional ways were steeped in mystery to outsiders. Poncho had no way of knowing the cultural implications of doing anything at all to a Mandalorian's armor, And Din was absolutely not going to be the one to tell him. Why? Well, I owe you at least 2 favors. What were you thinking, anyway, taking on all those pirates by yourself? Oh, what's that saying? All helmet, no head?
Ore buyeka, ke kovid.
Din translated automatically, mostly to himself. He felt like his brain was in another system.
So, you're saying we're even now?
Nah, I can't take the credit for this one. BD1 and his stims did all the hard work.
So that explained the grogginess. Stims could keep you alive in a pinch, but the side effects could be unpleasant. The droid in question cocked its head in Din's direction expectantly, as though expecting praise.
You really should be in a Bacta tank, Poncho continued. But barring a visit to a medical outpost, my professional opinion is that you should avoid being shot at, or any other forms of exercise, for at least a couple weeks.
I have very little control over that.
There was no reply, but Poncho's intense gaze flickered from the breastplate to Din, an amused smile playing at the corners of his mouth. Din abruptly felt very uncomfortable with the lull in conversation.
But thank you. This was unnecessary. I can reimburse you for the stims and the bandages.
Poncho shrugged and tucked a wayward strand of hair behind his ear. It's nothing. I've got a healthy, no pun intended, stash of medical supplies. They sat in silence for a while, Din keeping an eye on Poncho out of his peripheral vision. If the other man noticed, he gave no sign of it. He continued to put the final finishing touches on the breastplate, occasionally humming a few notes from some song Din didn't recognize. Eventually, his aches and exhaustion pulled him back into a doze. Many hours later, Din rose again to find the room empty. His injuries seemed to be healing up well, and also surprisingly fast. The blaster wound, in particular, looked like it was a week old rather than a day and a half. Must have been some powerful meds in those bandages. His repaired breastplate was propped up in the chair Poncho had been sitting in, and a small note was resting on the table. It had a crude drawing of what looked like the man's droid, BD1, and a line of untidy writing. Room paid for 1 standard day cycle. Get well soon. CK.
CK.
His mind was bombarded with the common human names that started with the letter C before he could swat them away. Connor, Kane, Caleb, Cody, Carter. Din turned the note over in his hand a few times before slipping it into his pocket. When he went to put on his breastplate, he found it in better condition than it had been even before its untimely encounter with the thermal detonator. Din sighed heavily. That was going to be an interesting conversation with the armorer. Cal returned to the Mantis 2 days later than he'd said he would, tired but feeling unaccountably accomplished. Seer was waiting at the top of the entry ramp with her hands on her hips.
Where the hell have you been?
Thanks for the warm welcome. Yes, I'm glad to be back too. Cal grinned and walked right past her reproachful stare onto the ship. Despite it having been many years since Cal was young enough to be scolded by his master, Seer never let go of her parental attitude toward him. Neither did Grease, for that matter. Something came up. It's all fine. The raised eyebrow told him that, no, he was not going to be able to brush this one off without an explanation. I ran into a friend of ours, the Mandalorian. Seer's other eyebrow joined the first one, but she restrained herself from interjecting. Say I ran into him. I felt his pain through the Force, though I didn't know it was his at the time. It was nearby, so I went to take a look. He was almost dead when I found him. Did you know there's a whole nest of pirates here? I didn't. So I dealt with the pirates. BD and I patched him up and took him to an inn. I was worried he might not make it, so I stayed and fixed up his armor, because it was...
You fixed his armor?
Seer cut in, eyes wide.
Well, Yeah, it's not pure Beskar. When the detonator went off, it got kind of mangled.
And he let you fix it?
I mean, he was unconscious, but... Cal felt like he was missing something. The Mandalorian hadn't seemed that concerned about him fixing the breastplate. But he'd also had about 12 stim injections in his system.
Did I do something wrong? I know armor is important to them. I didn't take off his helmet or anything.
There was a war between exasperation and humor taking place on Seer's face.
That's true. But that's not all of it. You know their armor is sacred, but it also fulfills a number of important social roles. Armor is exchanged during marriage ceremonies. Sets are reforged and passed down for generations.
Cal was starting to see where this was going, and he tried to fight the blush creeping up his neck.
The forging, fixing, and painting of armor is reserved for leaders of tribes and clans, or close family members. Either a parent or, well, a spouse.
Seer finished almost apologetically. Cal closed his eyes and hung his head slightly.
Ah, Kark. I didn't know that.
He'd saved the Mandalorian's life, but somehow still managed to screw up. He didn't know him well, of course, but the Mandalorian seemed to be a very private person to whom honor and dignity were important, and Cal had trampled all over that. He prided himself on being sensitive, as a Jedi and as a member of the galaxy, but he hadn't known enough to avoid making an ass of himself and violating someone's boundaries.
Seer, as always, seemed to know where Cal's mind had gone with that information. She patted his shoulder lightly.
I'm no expert. That's just what I've heard. It's not common knowledge. I'm sure he understood you meant well.
Yeah, sure.
He still felt awful. Thanks for telling me, and, trying to make me feel better about it.
Seer nodded and strode over to the Navic computer.
Cultural faux pas aside, we have to check up on another force sensitive. Should be pretty routine. We're heading to Mon Cala.
Cal exhaled, thankful that at least the uncomfortable part of the conversation was over.
And please, Cal, send a comm next time you plan on being more than a day late on one of your scouting assignments. It takes half a second and it'll stop Grease from anxiously overwatering the plants.